Number four, we've been studying through on Wednesday evenings here for about 10 weeks, Psalm 37, and we'll get back to that next week. But this evening, I want to draw our attention to a couple of verses of Scripture here in the book of Colossians in the fourth chapter. And I was praying and meditating and just thinking about a new year and the opportunities that are before us. And as we make preparation for a new year, in fact, I've titled the thought, the message this evening, just that, preparation for a new year. And I'm so thankful that God gives us the gift of life. We're certainly thankful for the gift of eternal life. But he told us in John chapter number 10, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I'm thankful that some of the questions that so many people struggle with in our world today, because we know the Lord is our Savior, we're able to answer those questions. Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? And we understand that as the people of God, that it is our purpose to bring honor and glory to our God. And what a blessing that is. And we thank the Lord. I'm certainly thankful for the Word of God and the instruction that God gives us in His Word with regard to our behavior, our conduct, our lives. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, just a couple of verses here in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, God gives us a great truth here, just very practical instruction for godly living. And notice the Bible says this, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." I begin to think about this preparation for a new year and looking at these couple of verses of Scripture and considering the instruction that is provided to us in these two verses of Scripture. And God tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And no doubt as we look at these two verses of Scripture, we see the practical aspect of these instructions that Paul is giving to these believers in Colossae. If you are taking notes this evening, let me just give you three thoughts and then we'll have our time of prayer tonight. It is our prayer and Bible study, and so we'll give time for prayer this evening. But let me just give you three thoughts tonight from these verses of Scripture. Number one, consider the importance of your testimony. Consider the importance of your testimony. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." As we begin to think about this phrase, walk in wisdom, it literally means that we're to behave ourselves wisely. We understand that Jesus gave this instruction in Matthew 10 and verse number 16 when he said that we're to be wise as serpents but harmless as doves. I think about this truth of walking in wisdom and the understanding of the importance of our testimony and understanding that people are watching us. It says specifically in this verse of Scripture that we're to walk in wisdom. Notice what it says, toward them that are without. Begin to think about those that are observing our lives, even those that are not of the household of faith, those that are without, and how they would observe our lives, and they ought to see us walking in wisdom. I'm reminded of the truth of David and his testimony. If you want to hold your place here in Colossians and turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it's very interesting that on three times in this short passage of Scripture, God speaks about the behavior of David. We know at this particular time in David's life, he'd already been anointed to be the next king of Israel. He defeated Goliath in chapter number 17. And now as we're looking in chapter 18, we notice that the Bible speaks about the behavior of David. Beginning in verse number 5, it says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him." Notice what it says, "and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants." You get to go through and you see what's taking place. It's in this passage of Scripture that God tells us about the women that answered and they were singing, "Saul had slain us thousands and David is 10,000s." And of course, the response of Saul with great anger. But we notice in verse number 14 that again, the Bible speaks about the behavior of David. It says, "And David behaved himself wisely." Notice what it says, "in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." There's obviously, as we look at that truth in verse number 14, there's a direct connection to his behavior in the statement that the Bible says the Lord was with him. I'm thankful that David was walking in a manner in which was pleasing to God, and he behaved himself wisely in all his ways. We notice in verse 30 at the end of this passage, the Bible says that the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. so that his name was much set by. And we don't use that type of terminology today as we end verse number 30, that his name was much set by, but really the idea of that expression is that his name was held in high regard. You think about his name being held in high regard. Why was it that his name was held in high regard? Well, because he behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. The Bible tells us three times in 1 Samuel 18 in 30 verses, the Bible tells us three times of David's behavior, and it says that he behaved himself wisely. And here the Bible tells us that we're to walk in wisdom. Now think about that truth of walking in wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? Wisdom from God and from his word. And we understand this evening that he's given us his word. He's promised to give us wisdom if we ask. And we understand the promise of James 1 in verse number 5, that if any man lack wisdom, that we're to ask of God. And God giveth to all men liberally, and it braideth not. What a wonderful promise that God has given us with regard to this truth of wisdom. And God's word gives us the instruction on how we're to behave ourselves. And we find here as we enter into a new year, as we are preparing for a new year, no doubt so many make preparations. There are certain things that they intend to do and what have you. They make these, as we hear it called, New Year's resolutions. But I would submit to you this evening that as we look at this verse of Scripture, that we ought to be mindful and we ought to consider the importance of our testimony. As I live the days that God would give me to live, I want to walk in wisdom, and especially toward them that are without, as the Bible gives us instruction here in verse number 5. Then notice at the end of verse number 5, number 2, not only consider the importance of your testimony, but consider the investment of your time. The investment of your time. The Bible says redeeming the time. How often I hear people say, I'm going to make time to do that. And I'll say something like this, you can't make time. We can't. We can only steward time. We cannot make time. We can steward time. And we find that God has given us the gift of life. We understand that as we begin to think about our lives and we begin to think about the brevity of our lives, that our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away, according to what James tells us. But we find here that time is a precious commodity. Time wasted can never be recovered. Once it's gone, it's gone. We find that we must use our time wisely. I would say it this way, that we must seize the opportunities that God would give us. Not one of us within the congregation this evening know how much time we have left here on this earth. We just don't know. I remember sitting with a family several years ago and sitting in their living room, and the wife there had been diagnosed with cancer. The prognosis was not good. It was just a matter of days before she would enter into eternity. And the husband was lost. And I remember turning my attention to the husband and saying to him, I said, the reality is that the doctors have given their best idea as to how long your wife is going to live. I said, but the fact of the matter is that me or you, both of us could die before her. Even though we're quote-unquote healthy and we have no doctor that's given us a diagnosis and a prognosis of time, but every day people die on the highway. They never intended to not come home from work. Time is precious. Each day we have 24 hours and we can do the math and figure out how many minutes and seconds we have per day, but we find that we must consider the investment of our time. How will we use the time that God gives us? In the book of Proverbs, in the 27th chapter, God says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow. No man knoweth what a day may bring forth. And certainly we seek to make plans, and James talks about if the Lord will in James 4 and verses 13 and 14. The fact of the matter is that we do not know what's on the morrow. No man does. God knows all things, but we do not know. Consider this, if you will. Look over the book of 1 Peter. I want you to notice the instruction that Peter would give to those that he's writing to. And of course, they're facing great adversity. Peter's writing to believers that have been dispersed and scattered abroad because of the great persecution and all that's taking place. And Peter is seeking to encourage them with regard to the time that they have left on earth. Notice in verse number 2 of 1 Peter 4. He says this, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. It's interesting as you look at verse number 2, they do not know how much longer they have to live their lives. It's just the rest of his time, whatever that amount is. And for each of us this evening, there is the rest of his time. We just don't know what that time period is. And no doubt we may think that it's longer than what it actually will be. But the reality is that as you look at the truth of verse number 2, notice what he says, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. Notice what he says, but to the will of God. That we're to live the rest of our time, however much time that is, that we're to live it in the will of God and to the will of God. And I'm so thankful that God would give us that opportunity. And it's interesting because Peter, and we often see this when we read the letters from Paul, and we see that Paul is giving instruction and encouragement to the brethren, to the believers, but then he himself is also practicing those very things that he's instructing others to do. Well, we see that here in the life of Peter as well. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he's encouraging them with regard to how they live. But notice in 2 Peter chapter number 1, Peter is going to share with these believers how he's living his life. And it's interesting, in verse number 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says this, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." Notice what he says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." He says this, "knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." And so he understood that shortly he would enter into glory, but you see in verse number 13, he said, "as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Here's how I'm going to live the days that God would allow me to live." The rest of his time is how he mentions it in 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse number 2, and "as long as I am in this tabernacle" is how he references it in his own life in 2 Peter chapter number 1. And Peter's encouraging these believers to understand the importance of their lives and the brevity of life, and to use their time wisely, to live it for the will of God, in the will of God. But he says, "I am practicing what I'm preaching. I'm living these days, as long as God would allow me to be here in this tabernacle on this side of eternity, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. I'm going to stir you up." And he gives us the reason that he's going to do this. As you look in verse number 15, he says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." And Peter's thinking about leaving for those that he's ministering to some truth for them, a legacy, if we might call it that, this evening, because he says that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Man, thinking about the future and investing in a future generation in those that would continue to go on. And this evening we must consider the investment of our time. No doubt we hear often about investing in investments. And I heard a guy today asking about an investment question, and it was kind of comical. It was on the radio. I was driving somewhere, and he mentioned about how his portfolio wasn't performing real well. And the guy that was taking the question said, "Join the crowd. I mean, no one's portfolio is looking really well." And people think so much about investing monetarily. What about our time? How do we invest our time? So we think about this new year in preparation for a new year from Colossians 4. I would say that we must consider the importance of our testimony. We must consider the investment of our time. And number 3 this evening, back in Colossians 4, I want you to notice verse number 6. We get two truths from verse number 5 and verse number 6. Paul says to these believers, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Number 3, we need to consider the impact of our tongue. The impact of our tongue. You know, God gives us the ability to communicate for many of us, we communicate through speech. And we have the opportunity to, with our tongue, to either build up or to bring down. We have the opportunity to bring glory to God. We have the opportunity to be able to influence others with the words that we use. And we notice that the Bible says here, let your speech be, notice that next word, always with grace. And that word right there kind of catches all of us. There's no exceptions. I mean, he says, let it be always with grace. And we understand the importance of this truth. And it's interesting that he speaks here in verse number 6 of chapter 4 about our speech. But in chapter number 3, look back maybe on the same page of your Bible. In verse number 16, notice what the Bible says here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice what he says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And as we understand the truth of Colossians 3 and verse number 16 and being filled with the Spirit of God, and you compare this passage with Ephesians 5 and verses 18 through 20, and you see the evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God, and he says that we're singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If we have grace in our hearts, likely we'll have grace in our speech. And he says that we're to let our speech be always with grace. Consider the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, his life is an example for us. Peter says that he left us an example that we should follow his steps. But over in Luke chapter number 4, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read the verse of Scripture for you. But in Luke 4 and verse number 22, it says this, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? I want you to consider what they gave witness to. They wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. What a blessing to think about the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and his speech being always with grace. It continues in verse number 6 and says, seasoned with salt. That's interesting. As we begin to think about this phrase of Scripture to and considering the impact of our tongue, it says seasoned with salt. That would carry with it the idea of that which is appropriate, that which is pure, that which is God-honoring. All of a sudden, as we're going to consider the impact of our tongues and we think about the things that we're speaking of and the things that are coming out of our lips, we understand this evening that James speaks much about the tongue. We find here this evening that our speech is to be always with grace, but then seasoned with salt, that which is appropriate, pure, and God-honoring. That we would allow the Lord to have that control in that area of our lives. Think about what the psalmist says. Again, you don't need to turn there. I'll read the verse of Scripture for you. But in Psalm 141, it's a great truth of God's Word with regard to our speech. And we find that the psalmist here, it's a psalm that's ascribed to David. And it's a prayer that he's praying. He's crying unto the Lord. And he says this in verse number 3 of Psalm 141, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That's a great prayer. I mean, if we want to follow the admonition that Paul is giving to the believers in Colossae, it's been preserved for us this evening that we would consider the impact of our tongue, that our speech would be always with grace and seasoned with salt. No doubt we ought to pray this same prayer that David prays in Psalm 141 and verse 3. Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I think about this statement, seasoned with salt. Yes, it carries with it the idea of that which is appropriate, pure, and God-honoring. But we also understand that salt not only preserves, but it also makes someone thirsty. You ever have a meal that's too heavy on salt? All of a sudden you're drinking more at the meal. Why? Because it's salty. It's making you thirst. And begin to think about that truth as we look at this verse of Scripture, because it's interesting how verse number 6 ends. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. But then notice the end of verse number 6, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. not only would I answer every man in a gracious manner, in an appropriate manner, in a God-honoring manner, but I believe also that as I begin to think about the end of verse number 6, when he says that ye may know how you ought to answer every man, I began to meditate upon this thought and wondered, it seems as if there's something about our lives, our testimony, our speech that would result in people asking questions. James says that we ought to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh thee of the hope that lieth within you. And so as we begin to think about this truth here in Colossians 4 and verse number 6, yes, our speech, as we would answer folks, it should be with grace and seasoned with salt. But the reality is that as I live my life, as I speak and use my tongue in an appropriate manner, I wonder, does it cause people to ask questions? As we begin to think about this preparation for a new year, it's exciting, changing the calendar and all the things that take place. And I often have said over the years, you know, there's certain things that just kind of peak in January because it's a new year, and certain things that just happen in cycles and what have you. But this evening, as the people of God, as we prepare for 2023, I hope that God would help us to remember the importance of our testimony, that we'd walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Absolutely, I think it's obvious within the text that we're to walk in wisdom in the house of God as well, amongst the people of God. But you think about those that are without, that others would see Christ in us. We find that he says, redeeming the time. How often we can sit around and talk, and man, time just seems to go by so fast, and maybe we'll spend time talking about time fleeting us. We must consider the investment of our time, and understanding this evening that there are certain things that we ought to use our time for, and other activities that, well, maybe shouldn't be so high on the list. Because at the end of the day, they really don't matter a whole lot. And then we consider the impact of our tongue. Are we building up? Are we edifying? Are we encouraging? Are we pointing people to Christ? It's to always, no exception, our speech is to be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. This evening, as we have our last service of 2022, I hope that we would take to heart this instruction that Paul gives to Colossae, to these believers. And we'd say, Lord, help us in this new year to have these truths in the forefront of our minds, that God, you would use us for your honor and for your glory, that we'd be able to look back and say, we didn't waste the time. We redeemed the time. We behaved ourselves appropriately. We spoke. We used our tongues in a manner in which was God-honoring and edified the brethren. I'm thankful that God would preserve for us this evening this practical instruction. I'm so thankful that God's Word is practical. It's relevant. People today are, well, God's Word is outdated and this, that, and the other thing. Man, it's so relevant for us. This message to this church, these believers, is a message that we still need today. And I'm so thankful that God has preserved His book for us so that we have it, and then we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. How we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God, the instruction that you've provided to us. We thank you that your Word is profitable. God, I pray this evening that you would help each of us to examine ourselves and to prepare for this new year. God, we would consider the importance of our testimony, that we'd walk in wisdom. God, would you help us to invest our time wisely, that we'd use the time, the days, minutes, and hours that you give us, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Help us, Lord, with our tongue. God, help us to speak with grace. Help our speech to be seasoned with salt. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We do thank you for the privilege that we have to come before your throne. We thank you that you have provided that access to us, and we can come boldly under the throne of grace, that we understand that you hear and answer prayer, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I pray, God, that you'd bless our time this evening. I thank you for the updates that we'll receive from the missionaries. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to use them for your honor and for your glory. Well, thank you for all that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.